So one of my mindsets or one of my goals in anything that I do is to decide to do something and then do it very well. Now, do I always achieve this? No, ma'am, I do not.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Wilmington, North Carolina, with one of the most significant people moving along the movement of women in tech here in Wilmington with an organization called Cape Fear. And she is in technology herself at a company called Encino. So she will tell us about both organizations and a little bit about how she got to where she is today. Welcome, Audrey.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be here.
I know it's really, really just fascinating for me to dive into a startup culture in a brand new city and just see, you know, what is today and what the potential is for it to be tomorrow.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because you visiting a town like ours where we see so much potential and hope is such a beautiful thing for us. It's very inspiring as somebody who lives and breathes a robust tech community every day.
Totally.
Just get your impressions and see
awesome.
What you see.
Yeah. No, and you're one of the, I'd say Cape Fear and Tech Mountain, so far from what I hear, are the two strongest forces in pushing the tech community forward. Would you say that's spot on?
I think we have both done a lot of work and make it our mission to move the tech community, to rise the tide, if you will. So it's not necessarily just our own agendas, but that we're connecting the dots between a lot of different groups. But I do think it's really important that the companies, the startups, the established companies, what have you in Wilmington are also trying to rise that tide. And so we're trying to connect the dots between all of those groups.
And go ahead and formally introduce yourself and tell us about your involvement in Encino and at Cape Fear.
I'm Audrey Spiker, and I am one of the founders of Cape Fear Women in Tech, which is a nonprofit organization based in Wilmington, North Carolina, that serves the Cape Fear region, which is right on the beach, which we love. So what we do, essentially, is create opportunities for women in technology in the Cape Fear region. And essentially, we want to inspire them to lead in those roles in their professions. And so we have an economic development piece that we encourage in our region. And we also have, on an individual level, outreach that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a community volunteering aspect as well, where we put our skills in tech to good use.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, expose young ladies to what it looks like for a woman to be in technology.
Right.
Which is something that I missed as a child. I didn't understand very well.
So. Last night, you were involved in putting together the event last night.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that event and how often do you have events like that and what was the mission behind that?
Sure. So we hold monthly, we call them meetings, but they really are events to bring our membership together. I think one of the most important things that we do is create a strong network. I think there's so much power behind the scenes in a good, strong network. I think that's how people move forward in their careers. That's how they get positions. That's how they bring projects to life in general. And I think that's one of the most important things that we do in our area. And so events last night bring our membership base together. So there's connections that are made, yes, but there's also a collective energy, which I think inspires people to move forward. Everybody gets down. Everybody feels exhausted. Everybody needs a little bit more sleep.
Right.
But when you have that collective energy and you can walk away from an event like that thinking, I'm going to get back in the saddle. I can address this passion project
right.
that I've been keeping, you know, behind the scenes for a bit. And now I've met somebody who's going to really help me take it to the next level.
Right.
Because that's what we're looking to do.
And tell me about your involvement at Encino.
Sure. I actually just started.
What is Encino?
So Encino is a worldwide leader in cloud banking. You see, my role is in product marketing. So I have these things on hand and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. You go, girl.
We're a software company. We're a SaaS company. And our product is built on the Salesforce platform. And essentially, it handles workflow, CRM, loan origination, all sorts of things for banks. Our customers are community and enterprise banks, here in the United States and around the world, from about 200 million to 2 trillion in asset size. And so essentially what we're looking to do is make banking more efficient. Our tenants, our innovation, reputation, and speed. Those are the things we live and breathe every day. So it's software to make banking easier and better.
And how did you get involved with the company?
So nCino spun out of a local bank called Live Oak Bank, which is actually a fairly new bank.
Yeah, I've actually been hearing really cool things about Live Oak. Like, it's a company to pay attention to.
It really is. I think you're visiting Live Oak tomorrow, yeah, if I'm
really
not mistaken.
Really excited about it.
They have a beautiful campus. It feels very like mountain, like lodge esque. You'll enjoy it. But we spun out of Live Oak Bank as loan origination software. And then we've been building upon that. And now we're an end-to-end solution. So just been growing like crazy. 5 years old. We've got about 350 employees almost now. So
Here in nCino.
Yeah. And we try to keep all of our folks on campus if we can, just to have like that collective energy. We're growing so fast. It's nice to have people here.
Yeah. What I heard about Live Oak is that they're a bank that focused on a niche, veterinarians, about creating loans or credit lines for veterinarians. And because they were so focused on a niche that they were able to do the same thing and replicated in other niches, mm-hmm. which ended up making them surpass Bank of America or be on par with Bank of America or something like that?
So I don't know. I know in asset size, I do not believe they're really
the same
comparable to Bank of America. I would have to look at what their actual, it may be in like a certain category that they've surpassed.
Yeah.
Like with veterinarians or funeral homes or self-storage, they may have surpassed the business that Bank of America does in that specific area. That would be my guess. But I wouldn't want to misspeak, so I'm not sure about
okay.
that.
No worries.
But you're spot on, though, in terms of the market niche that they serve. They found this great low-risk niche, which, you know, veterinarians, dentists, folks who tend to do well and, you know, pay back their loans. And they've found a lot of success in that. So great business model.
I think it's just a great reminder to focus on your niche when you're doing something. Like we just did an interview with someone and she said the way that she grew her business is she noticed that none of the grocery stores in the town that she lived had any like quick, healthy, fast-go areas. So she created the food for that. And she essentially built that category inside the grocery stores in her town. So it's about like discovering what's missing and then solving that problem. Mm-hmm. So getting back to technology. So, okay, you find this position a year and a half ago. Remind me where you found it.
So I knew about nCino. I had known about nCino for quite some time. And I had a great experience in my previous role as a product manager at Castle Branch. And I was ready to sort of look into what my next adventure might be. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of, you know, just doing some research, trying to understand the landscape, what would make sense as a next step. And I landed on nCino, looked at what opportunities there were here and sort of got my heart set on something in particular. And so now I'm in a product marketing role here, which I love.
That's awesome. And what was Castle Branch?
So Castle Branch is a company that provides background check services to a variety of different companies and in various industries, but their predominant industry is in education services. Cool. So colleges and universities and students are typically their customers.
Awesome.
And they're the company that houses Tech Mountain as a corporate sort of innovation center.
And now, when did you first become in love with technology?
I had a late in life love for technology. I started out, and I attribute that to maybe a lack of exposure, because I love it so much now that I can't imagine that I wouldn't have before.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like business. I never really could conceptualize how exactly business happened, and I didn't understand how people interact with technology in a way where they guide the development of. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like I see the end result and it feels really complicated. So I don't know how someone did this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was off my radar. Because I started out academically in psychology and in mental health, and that's what I did coming out of college. And then I got into acting, actually, weirdly, coincidentally.
Yeah.
And then I fell into technology coincidentally, but it's really where I found my passion and my love. And it was through sort of a research and development role at Castle Branch that I got this project that came across my desk, which would eventually become Tech Mountain.
Right.
So our CEO, Brett Martin, had an idea for sort of like an innovation center, if you will, that he wanted to create. And so my task was to understand exactly what he was talking about. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then what it maybe could be or should do, those kinds of questions. And so ultimately we ended up with Tech Mountain. And I was initially the director of Tech Mountain, which exposed me to tons of incubators, accelerators, startups, founders.
All in Wilmington.
In Wilmington, but we traveled. We went around to the Raleigh-Durham sort of triangle area. We went to Austin. We went to New York. We went all over to try to understand how you create a center of technology.
And what did you discover?
Well, we discovered one of the things that I'm passionate about is sort of mysterious connections that happen and how to encourage those. I don't know that you can manufacture them, but I think that you can encourage them. And so in the space, at least, we wanted to create collision points where people would interact, or we wanted it to be that kind of collision point that it would be important for people to have a place by default that they know they could go to meet other interesting people.
Right.
Because I think oftentimes, you know, we do have the internet to connect us all, but meeting in person is invaluable. So those are some of my takeaways. Collision points and the importance of those, creating a space that people can come and be physically together.
Right.
We talk about the importance of, you know, kegerators and toys and things like that. But I think that that's the least of it. Uh-huh. Blazing fast internet, my friend. I cannot say it enough. I don't even have a word strong enough for it. Passionate is the word I'm going to use, but I need a better, more dramatic word.
About fast internet.
I feel fast internet is so quintessentially important to creating a robust community, to having, I'm talking about in the United States and the world.
Right, right.
To have access to blazing fast internet just moves everything forward so much faster.
100%.
Anyway.
Yes.
That's my piece.
I agree. Yes. It's a shame that every conference never has internet.
Why?
They claim it's, I don't know, it's like a thing, right?
Yes.
They claim this conference is going to be the conference that has amazing internet. I've never been to a conference that has amazing internet, ever.
You get kicked off.
Yeah.
It's slow.
Yeah.
There are like 200,000 people trying to tap into
one line,
one network or whatever.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Nonsense.
No, it's nonsense.
Sure.
I'm glad we're on the same page with that.
I do believe.
That should be the next
company. Believe in the power of fast internet.
What would you find has been the most thrilling part about your role in the tech space? I mean, you have so many different areas that you dip into, from the nonprofit work that you do to working for a large tech brand. Mm-hmm. Like, what excites you the most about being a part of this industry?
What excites me the most is constantly looking for ways that we move people forward in a positive manner. The ways in which technology works for us and enables us as human beings to do what we're good at versus what the technology could be good at.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a delicate balance, of course, but with my background in human behavior and behavior modification and things like that, it's like I'm endlessly fascinated by the way that humans and machines interact and what the future of that will look like. I think that always and forever, the center of any piece of technology should be the person, right? And then I think as we develop further in the future, different forms of technology, it will revolve around the person. Instead of going out to the technology will come into you in a sense.
Right, right.
All figuratively, but I'm a big Star Trek fan. I love science fiction. I love thinking about the future of technology. And I think that there's a lot of work to be done in terms of how it can become less visible,
right?
But facilitative. If that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. What is one kind of mindset that you have that you think you've utilized in order to achieve your dreams?
So one of my mindsets, or one of my goals in anything that I do is to decide to do something and then do it very well. Now, do I always achieve this? No, ma'am, I do not. But I really try to pick something, focus in on it, and maybe not perfect it, because I think you got to ship things at some point, right? But at least respect it enough and respect my decision enough to have made the decision to focus on it, right?
Yeah.
You talked about that last night.
Yeah.
And it was like, yes. I've been a bit obsessed with this notion of mastery lately. Just sort of like ruminating on it a bit.
Yeah.
Trying to find the thing or things that I really would like to master, because I think that it takes time. I think that we like to think as people that we can master lots of things, and maybe we can. It's true. But I don't think there's a substitute for time.
Right.
When you have something that you're passionate about that's complicated, right?
Yeah.
Am I going roundabout?
No, it's fine.
Your question?
No, I mean, you feel that, if I'm hearing you right, you feel that in order to achieve your dream life, you've chosen to truly focus and master certain skills. Yeah.
No, it makes a lot of sense. On them purposefully.
I've been talking about a book my friend Daniel gave me called One Thing. Because I think, I remember when I built my sports company and I met with one of my first mentors, she said, you know, you can't be all the things to everyone. You need to start on a very like singular track to match an audience and get that audience to come in, do that very well before you move on to the next thing. And I think when, you know, we live in a multitasking kind of age and technology has this association with you could do more now simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And in this book, One Thing, he says that the term multitasking came from actually computing, where the program would simultaneously do various tasks at the exact same time, but it was one program doing all the tasks. It wasn't like a human now doing multiple different things that are all like... It was a computer program.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's like all we need to know. Like, it was not meant to apply to human beings.
Yeah. And so, like, we're not supposed to be texting and driving at the same time. We're not supposed to, you know, be slacking and writing a report. And, you know, so I think it is a very powerful thing to actually get better at doing one thing and really being focused and to master a skill. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some great resources to become a product manager?
I think it's helpful as a product manager to have some like technical, even sort of like amateur beginning level technical skills, coding skills, coding programming skills. And I think if you don't already possess those things, like say you have industry knowledge and you're coming into a product manager role, but you don't necessarily have the technical skills.
Right.
Boot camps. There are tons of boot camps. I did a Tech Talent South boot camp, which is a local, they have like pop-up boot camps and actual like boot camp type locations all over the Southeast.
Yeah.
And they're growing. But I did a boot camp, and then continued with online courses. There's tons of free resources and then also paid, depending on what it is that if you're focusing on a language or something of that nature. I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think that helps a lot. You know, you may not have deep technical skills or be able to develop those without focusing on them 110% for a couple of years or what have you, but it's nice to be able to speak the language, because I think that's what's important, the communication piece.
Yeah.
Other things that are important from a product manager
perspective. Is there a book that you just thought was awesome?
There's a book about getting a job as a product manager that's really good. And I think it's some, I can't remember the exact title of it, but if a person Googles that, they'll be able to find it.
And also,
like how to land a job as a product manager or something.
And send it to us and we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But what's interesting though is that my job now is in product marketing is this companion role to product management.
Yeah.
Where I get to focus now on the storytelling, which is, you know, I talked about mastery. This is one of the things that I want to get better at. And one of the things that when I took on this role of product marketing in Zeno, that I felt I had a lot of potential for growth.
Right.
In terms of being able to tell compelling stories about software, how to explain to people how their lives could be better, what it does for them, how it works for them, how it addresses issues that they may have.
And how can people get in touch with you to learn more?
So people can email me Or they can connect with me on LinkedIn. I mean, those are the primary, LinkedIn and email.
Where can they email you? And can you spell your name for everybody for LinkedIn?
Sure. My name is Audrey Speicher. It's spelled AudreySpeicher. And
email.
So that's my LinkedIn. I know. It's like, it's funny because my email is my name. So I was just thinking that I did that already. But so it's SpeicherAudrey@gmail.com. So it's SpeicherAudrey@gmail.com.
Perfect. Audrey, thank you so much for being so awesome and supportive. Audrey's been really, really supportive the whole time that I've been in Wilmington exploring everything. She's just making sure that all T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And she's so passionate and has done so much for the community here. I hope you do take the opportunity to connect with her further.
Please.
And as you know, we have that amazing Women in Tech Facebook group. So if you want to connect with more extraordinary women, just go to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. And then that takes you over to the Facebook group. It literally forwards right there. We made it simple so you wouldn't have to ask us a million times which group we're talking about on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I will talk to you guys, hear you guys, and all the things in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Huge shout out and thank you to Betalist. Betalist is amazing. I've used Betalist for my past startups. Betalist gains you early traction to your startup while it's still in beta. Go to betalist.com/wearelatech. That's betalist.com/wearelatech. Thank you for powering the We Are LA Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com. And just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.